Moscona.
I'm very important.
After further review.
Say one more time.
After further review with Matt Moscona.
And here we go.
ESPN Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria. Live from the Mercedes-Benz of Baton Rouge Studios.
That's right.
And welcome back in. Hour number two of AFR on a Friday, presented by Don Juan's Cigar Bar. Musso in for Moscona. Scone's back on Monday. Grant Lanero, Paul O'Neill along for the ride as well. Keeping an eye here on LSU's opener in the Baton Rouge Regional. Tigers up 6-2 now on the Tulane Green Wave. Tulane with a two-run home run off of Paul Skeens there in the top of the seventh inning to cut into LSU's lead and finally get on the board. Tigers... Skeens, gets through seven innings on 97 pitches. So I would fully expect him to come back out for the top of the eighth inning. I think if you would have asked Jay Johnson, the thing he would have wanted going with Skeens today was at least eight innings out of him. He's in position to do that. The interesting caveat with that now is only up by four. And that's just right now. I mean, LSU has plenty of time to score. They're into the Tulane bullpen. But only up four instead of six. Now, what do you do towards the end of the game when Skeens is done after eight? I think what everybody had hoped was you'd be up by at least, you know, six or maybe a few more runs than that. And you could go to maybe a little bit one of your, one of the guys you just used to eat up innings and have been great at that this year, like a Blake Money or somebody like that. Four-run lead, you might be pushing it a little bit doing that. That's one swing. You load the bases, you get to one swing, and it can get you. For me, I'll tell you what I would do. I'd go to Riley Cooper. Riley's been really good down the stretch here so far for LSU, and the guy's got a rubber arm. I mean, isn't it just that? I mean, kind of that simple. Riley Cooper's pitched three times in a weekend before. Like he can absolutely just bounce back, no questions asked, early. And if you only need three outs from him, okay. I mean, like that's what I would do. We'll see what they do. Hopefully they just score a few more runs and really kind of distance themselves here and you don't have to go down that road and everything goes completely according to plan, like Jay drew it up with Paul Skeens getting the start today. Trying to connect with Ryan Terrio here. He's supposed to be joining us in this in these segments here. If we can't get him this one, we'll definitely get him before the show is over. LSU so far in the seventh, fairly quiet. Couple weak outs from Beloso and then from Gavin Dugas, Braden Joubert at the plate now. With a 1-2 count. I was just sitting there saying, and it's Joubert strikes out swinging in the inning. I was just sitting there saying that maybe LSU had hoped and wanted to be up by more than four runs at this point. But, and again, look, credit Michael Lombardi. He's pitched pretty well out of the Tulane bullpen, got him out of the biggest jam that they had been all game and has put up a couple zeros since then against the LSU offense. But for that, I mean, I've actually really liked what we've seen from LSU's offense in this ball game. I mean, they're looking at six runs on 10 hits. That's solid. That came through five innings too. I mean, so like the pace you were on was awesome. You just credit Lombardi. But when you look at where they were after the final two games of the SEC tournament, where they really struggled with runners in scoring position. And if you look at the average today with runners in scoring position, not great. But LSU's done a great job of manufacturing runs in this ball game today. I mean, we opened the show talking a lot about the small ball that they've actually played. And you've seen production come without the benefit of a hit. You've seen a good bit of RBI ground outs. You've had a sack fly. They've done a really, really nice job of manufacturing runs. I think, again, I don't have it in front of me. I could get it here momentarily. But just judging off what I've watched, LSU might have 2-3 hits with runners in scoring position today. That's it. But they scored 6 runs. So the manufacturing of runs has been great. And look, that's something you need in postseason play. It's great to go out there, bludgeon everybody. And I think LSU is going to score their fair share of runs. Don't get me wrong. But the ability to manufacture runs is certainly, certainly important when you... What on earth is this? I'm trying to pull up the live stats. Oh, good Lord. We have to deal with the NCAA's version of this now. That's just awful. Oh, gosh. I just absolutely loathe the NCAA's insistence on taking everything over when it comes to regionals and super regionals and the College World Series. College World Series, fine. You want to do it then? Fine. Why can't LSU use the same live stat page they've used the entire year? Like, why is that a problem? God, that is stupid. Got a shot of the LSU bullpen. I see Nate Ackenhausen, Gavin Guidry, Thatcher Hurd, Blake Money. That's interesting. Paul Skeens back out there. He's at 100 pitches right now, 0-2 count to the first batter that he's facing. But, I mean, look, that's, you know, you're in that position right now when you don't have the lead that I think many expected you to. Although, again, like I said, I think you've actually played pretty well offensively throughout the game. I was going to try to figure out exactly how many hits they had with runners in scoring position, but the NCAA's taken over everything, and you have to freaking use their stat page, and their stat page sucks, and I need time to actually look for it. I'm not going to do that while I'm live on air because that's going to be horrible radio. So maybe we'll have that when we come back from break. That's just really, really stupid that you have to do that. Paul Skeens, man. Pitch number 102 was 99 miles an hour. It's just absurd. So he's going through the bottom third of the order, too. That's another reason you obviously put him out there for the eighth inning. That's a fly ball to left field. That looks like it's probably going to be caught. Okay, here's the question now. If Skeens gets out of this, so his season high on the year is 117 pitches. He's at 102 right now. If he gets out of this under 110, do you run him back out there for the ninth inning? I mean, you've burned him. You kind of might as well. I wouldn't be totally opposed to that if that's the way LSU intends to go. But that's going to be something I'm very interested in because he'd have to go through the top of the order. Because now you're at the 9-hole hitter right now if you're Skeens and LSU going through this lineup. So that is something to talk about. And that'd be a fourth or fifth trip through the lineup for Skeens, which is interesting. But from a pitch count standpoint, he'd absolutely be able to do it. And look, I mean, again, if you're going to burn him, and you already have, and you're pitching him against the 4-seed, get every last ounce you can out of him and save your bullpen for the rest of the week. That's your thought. He's got this hitter down 1-2. He's at 106 pitches, and boy, earlier Paul Skeens caught one between his legs. He didn't catch that one. Okay. Now you go to the top of the order. I think this is his last inning at this point now. 107 pitches going to the top of the order. This is probably his last inning. But it was a fun conversation to have for a hot minute there. You know, that's what this is about. That's, you know, you go companion show for a segment or two here, and you just talk through the game as it unfolds. And that was something that kind of popped in the head there. So we're going to grab a break, though, come back on the other side, try to link up with Terrio. We'll see if we can get that done. LSU leading 6-2 with 2 outs in the 8th inning, and Tulane has a runner on first base. We'll be back after this. Friday's AFR, presented by Don Juan Cigar Bar.
AFR. AFR is brought to you by Pluckers, Nicholson, and Bluebonnet. Dine in or carry out 28 flavors of award-winning jumbo chicken wings, ice-cold draft beer, full-service bar, sports on TV. My goodness, there's something going on at Pluckers every night of the week. What more could you possibly want? How about sandwiches? Well, they've got those. What about salads? Pluckers actually has really underrated salads. Giant, gorgeous, fresh salads. You can actually eat healthy at Pluckers. Or you could just binge award-winning jumbo chicken wings tossed in your favorite sauce. You want to create your own menu item? Do it. They encourage the creativity. Great sides as well, like the cheese fries, the El Guapo dip, maybe the homemade blue cheese potato chips, holy macaroni, fried pickles. They got it all at Pluckers. Nicholson just south of campus, Bluebonnet right in front of the Mall of Louisiana. The best place to watch the game, which game? Any game is at Pluckers because you can eat wings, drink beer, and watch sports on TV. Remember, Pluckers, if you don't like our wings, we'll give you the bird.
After further review with Matt Moscona, presented by Don Juan Cigar Bar, ESPN Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria.
Always a pleasure to tell you about our friends at the Williamson Eye Center. Check them out online at williamsoneye.com. They've got locations all over the greater Baton Rouge area. On the Baton Rouge General Campus, I mean, you turn off a Bluebonnet onto Picardy, you make that right. And then right there at the stop sign, the building on the right, the first two floors, that's the Williamson Eye Center. State-of-the-art dry eye center, and it's full service. Of course, they have their state-of-the-art surgery center there where you can have your LASIK or whatever surgical procedure you're having, but they have your standard annual eye exam as well at the Williamson Eye Center. Learn more at williamsoneye.com. The thing I tell you every day is take the advice that I was given and change your life. To give yourself the gift of sight is absolutely incredible. If you're someone like me who spent your life with contacts or glasses, there is a way to be done with it forever. WilliamsonEYE.com. Go see Dr. Blake Williamson for that free consultation. 924-2020. 924-2020 or WilliamsonEYE.com for the Williamson Eye Center.
All right, so interesting development here with the game. Paul Skeens got into a little bit of trouble there in the top of the eighth, but got out of it. I got the two-hole hitter to fly out to right field, ultimately to end the inning. You had action in the bullpen as Thompson singles to right field to start the eighth. LSU would love runs right here, by the way. Insurance runs would be massive for the Tigers. And while we were kind of talking through it, and we saw the guys on the, you know, in the pen, we were like, okay, there's Hurd, there's Akinhausen, there's Guidry, and Blake Money was down there as well. When Skeens got into trouble, you saw Pearson's digging into the box. You saw Hurd and Akinhausen starting to get loose. So, and for what it's worth, now that they got out of that, and Paul Skeens is over 110 pitches. But now that they've gotten out of that, the bullpen has sat down. So when they came back, you could see, like, the shot they were using, you could see LSU's bullpen, and they had sat down. We'll see, you know, eventually if they get back up during this inning, the more it goes on. Something, you know, depending on how long it takes you to go out there. But we can hypothesize about, you know, Skeens just coming back out for the ninth anyway. We'll see what happens there. I'm going to be very interested to see who he uses. Thatcher Hurd, it wouldn't surprise me. It would not surprise me if they put Hurd in to close out this ballgame. I have spent all week on this show, on Musso at the Box, all week talking about how if Jay was going to take a guy and try one of his best guys and try to maximize him and just move him bullpen and use him over the course, like maximize the innings he pitches over the course of a weekend in this tournament, in the tournament format, for me, it would be Thatcher Hurd. He's come out of the bullpen more. He's started. He's long relief. He's shown a lot of versatility, and he would be that guy for me. So that would not surprise me. And I fully understand the want to do that, thinking in terms of outs, not roles. That part I get. And the reason that's become such a conversation is Leah Van at the Advocate wrote the article about it, you know, kind of going back to Jay's time at Arizona, his first year when they went to the College World Series Finals and they had some injuries on the staff and he had to do that. And Ty Floyd was the example she had used. And I just took it as like, I get the concept for me, Hurd. So that would not surprise me. It would not surprise me. What it would make me do is question the decision to pitch Paul Skeens today even more. Because I think what everybody assumed was you're going to go, and that's if you use Hurd, they still may not. But I think what everybody assumed when you saw Paul Skeens was, okay, you would go Skeens, Floyd, and probably Hurd. what you're looking at now, if they use Hurd here, sure, he could come back and start Sunday if you don't have to use him tomorrow. But what you're more looking at is probably Javon Coleman on Sunday or in your third game, wherever that is. I mean, which is going to be Sunday, obviously, unless you don't get to a third game, but it looks like you're on your way to doing that. The point is, Sunday, game three, depending on what Hurd throws or if he throws before that, you're looking at Coleman. So I have questions there. Is he ready to extend? Coleman's high pitch count on the year is 65. I wanted him desperately to get a start in the SEC tournament so they could extend him more and have him ready to start a game in this regional. When that didn't happen, I think the focus for all of us really kind of shifted to Hurd probably being that third guy. But if they're going to use him bullpen-wise here, that opens the door for LSU to have to go whole staff in a game three. And if this was last year's team, I'd feel a lot better about that. You got to get through the games first. And you can see where you're at. But think back to the third Mississippi State game. Think back to the third Alabama game. Now, you won one of those. You lost one of those. But it showed you how difficult whole staff is for this team. The depth just isn't there from a bullpen standpoint. The quality of depth that you had last year, I should say, just isn't there from a bullpen standpoint. So that part would make me question the move to throw Skeens more, quite honestly. And by the way, that's our Citizens Bank poll question of the day. Do you agree with the decision to start Paul Skeens today? Yes or no? Go vote on Twitter at 1045 ESPN as Dylan Cruz punches out looking on a filthy slider. That's going to be just an interesting thing to look at. So the last shot they showed to the bullpen when there was one out, there was still nobody up. Now there's two outs and a runner on first. It's still 6-2. They might throw Skeens back out there, although we're going to have a pitching change from Tulane now. Lord. Okay. That's just going to elongate the baseball game, but something to keep an eye on. I mean, I don't know. Let me know if you agree or disagree with that. Having a whole staff approach would be interesting for a third game. And I think many of us, when you saw Skeens go, thought it would be Skeens Floyd Hurd from that point out. But again, the decision to use Hurd wouldn't surprise me. All right, we have a little bit of time left in this segment. Excuse me. Look around the league here real quick. Arkansas was in a bit of a battle with Santa Clara, and they've pulled away a little bit. Boy, that fourth inning really snowballed on Santa Clara. Second trip through the lineup there for them against Arkansas, and they ended up putting up five, take a 5-2 lead. Good thing they did because Santa Clara added one in the fifth, but Arkansas now up 7-3 in that one. Hogs Regional is an interesting one. If we're being honest, that one is two Power Five teams with TCU and Texas Tech, TCU and Arizona, and Arizona's been hot, and TCU, what a program. Interesting to look at there with Arkansas, but man, I really like the way that the Hogs kind of have things set up for them if they can get through it, because it's weird. I think you look at a couple teams this year out of the SEC, and Arkansas is one of them. Tennessee would be the other, but I have doubts about Tennessee, and I can get into that. Arkansas is interesting to me for this reason. The Hogs have had better teams than this one, a lot better teams than this one. The 2018 team is the first one that comes to mind, where they were a drop, pop, fly, and foul ground away from winning a national title. You had that team, that moment away from that. You look at this team that has just been riddled with injuries, and they've just kept winning. It's probably Dave Van Horn's best coaching job. When a team's trying to get over the hump so much, but it's not uncommon for it to happen in a year like this. And that's kind of the way I look at Arkansas. It's like, man, they've had everything possible that could go wrong for them as a program in general, but this year as well. And they've just kept winning and kept winning and kept winning in spite of them. It kind of has that team of destiny feel to it or whatnot. Tennessee, in a sense, too, where it was tailor-made for you to do it last year because your team was just so elite, or what we all thought was such an elite club. And, well, we know what happened. They got eliminated on a home super regional. You look at the way things started this year, and they just got off to a really slow start, and they've really kind of started to – they've played better down the stretch, and many people think they have a shot in Clemson. For me, they just – the lack of success for them on the road this year has the lack of success for them on the road this year just has been baffling. I don't even just mean in true road games, like neutral site too. Tennessee's won 5 games away from Lindsey Nelson this year. So it's hard for me because of that. It's over the course of a whole year, you kind of know what you are. Can you figure it out in a regional? Maybe, but it's hard for me to just be like, yeah, I think Tennessee's going to come out of Clemson. But those are two teams that, you know, kind of just like Arkansas is more the team of destiny, and man, if it hadn't happened for you any other year and you keep winning this year, maybe it does, but I don't know. Tennessee, I've heard they've, you know, a lot of people talk about them making a run too. All right, new pitcher into the game is Clevinger for Tulane. Yes, his brother is that Clevinger in the big leagues. But 2-0 count to Tommy White. Yeah, Jordan Thompson advanced to second on a wild pitch, and White's trying to drive him in, get LSU an insurance run, get him back to 5. The most intriguing thing for me left here is what they do out of the pen in this game. Because, I mean, you've got Skeens pitch counts up there. And they're going to intentionally walk Tommy White. Of course, there's no reason to pitch to him with a runner in scoring position and a 3-0 count. That's just, you're asking for trouble. They did that earlier in the game. You'd take your chance. You got Morgan on deck, left on left. Here comes Jay Ullman. There's no way he's going to, unless he's got another lefty down there. No, he's going to bring in a righty to face Morgan. That's very interesting. Wow. You know what? I like that because as I don't always buy into the fact that you have to go lefty, lefty, righty, righty. Sometimes I think the matchup stuff is just just a little bit of a load of crap, to be honest with you, sometimes. But Jay Ullman, interesting move. One you don't see. Bring in a lefty to face a righty and then go get the righty to face the lefty. We'll see how it pans out for him. LSU with runners at first and second, 2 outs. Up 6-2 in the bottom of the 8th inning, looking for some insurance. Trey Morgan coming to the plate. We are going to head to break. Come back on the other side. Switch back to football for a little bit. We'll obviously update how the 8th inning ended and whatnot. But Kirk Herbstreit gave an interview to On3. Had some very, very interesting comments. Very interesting comments when it came to how he views the top of the SEC right now as we head into the summer months ahead of August. We'll let you hear what Herbstreit said and we'll react to it as well on the other side. That's next here on AFR Friday Show, presented by Don Juan Cigar Bar.
AFR.
Love telling you about Hudco Roofing, HudcoRoofing.com. Do business with someone you know. That's us, Hudco Roofing, HudcoRoofing.com. Check us out online. I tell you all the time as well, if you want to email me directly, you can. It's matt@HudcoRoofing.com. I'm happy to help facilitate anything that you may need. Trust me, you don't want me on your roof, but I certainly know the people within our business, our company, that you would love to have on your roof. It's Hudco Roofing. Tell you every day, do business with someone you know. The thing I gotta stress, fortified roofing. With a fortified roof, you can save as much as 52% on your homeowner's insurance, depending on who your insurance provider is. As much as 52% you could save on your homeowner's insurance with a fortified roof. You got to learn more about this, y'all. We'd love to explain it to you, how you can save money, how you can protect not only your family, but your home, your belongings on the interior as well. Go to HudcoRoofing.com, click the Fortify tab. If you want to learn more, give us a shout. 364-1007, 364-1007, or HudcoRoofing.com. Do business with someone you know.
After further review with Matt Moscona, presented by Don Juan Cigar Bar, ESPN Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria.
Remind you about Mold Zero USA, mold-zerousa.com, mold-zerousa.com. Tell you every day, kill mold, remove odor, kill dozens of other pathogens. Mold Zero USA, they'll always give you that free estimate. If you want to learn more about the process, I get it. It's different. You have mold. People usually are thinking, now we got to cut sheetrock. It's going to be messy. It's going to be intrusive. Nah, with Mold Zero. They come in. They spray their patented non-toxic dry fog treatment. It's easy. It's all hooked up to a truck, all the hoses and everything. They'll pull up. They'll walk in. They'll spray the whole house. The fog will touch everything in the house. You let it dwell. It'll kill the mold, the spores, all of it. And then you just wait for the fog to dissipate, go right back in your home, your mold-free, clean-smelling home. You want to learn more about the process? Little or no demolition required. You want to learn more what the Army Corps of Engineers has to say? It's all there. Mold-ZeroUSA.com.
Tulane back to the bullpen. Jay Ullman's treating this like a midweek game now, just wearing out a path from the dugout to the mound. They went to a true freshman, Will Priggy. He threw five pitches, and all five of them missed the zone, and that was it. So he walked Trey Morgan to load the bases on four pitches, threw ball one to Travinsky. None of them were close, and that was it. So a new pitcher will come in and inherit a tough situation if you're Tulane. Interesting to go to a freshman there in that spot when you needed Morgan out and you had a lefty on the bump and coming in, but you know, matchups aren't everything. And, you're in a tough spot there now. If you're Tulane, see if Hayden Travinsky can come through, add some insurance runs for LSU, or if they take it to the ninth up 6-2. All right. So wanted to talk a little bit of LSU football here because Kirk Herbstreit gave an interview, to On3 Sports and was asked about the SEC, and the way the question was phrased was more about Alabama, because look, we all kind of know what Alabama, we all know what people think of Alabama so far this year. There's a lot of people kind of looking at them like, wait a minute. You know, last year wasn't great. It's the whole argument where they lost two games, but they only lost two games, and they lost it by, you know, one in overtime on a field goal, the other by 2 points in overtime. 5 points combined, both, or one at the gun, I should say, one in overtime, 5 points combined to LSU and to Tennessee. And the thought process around that is, the thought process behind Bama is, okay, is it starting to slip a little bit with Saban? But the argument has always been, well, they lost that combined 5 points. They could have easily been 12-0. Yeah, well, there's also the game at Texas. They could have easily been, you know, an 8-4 team in the regular season. My thing with them is it appears it's going to be tougher than it has been in the past. There's a lot Alabama has to replace. Two coordinators, Bryce Young, Will Anderson, but obviously there's more. So Kirk Herbstreit, given all that, was asked by On3 Sports, what does he kind of make of Alabama? He said this, but he also took it a different way that's going to expand this conversation. Give a listen.
Whenever they have a few losses or whenever they don't quite chase their goals the previous year, and whenever, oh, they got a new this and a new that and a new quarter, it's like, oh boy, Nick Saban's in trouble. I'm telling you, he's got the same energy he's had since 2009 when he won his first title against Texas. He's got great players like he had in 09, maybe better. He's got a team that's going to be upset with a chip on their shoulder. As we sit here, what are we, May 31? It's hard for me not to lean towards Alabama in the SEC just because of what you described. Now, you got LSU, who made incredible strides in that first year with Brian Kelly. Got a lot coming back from that team. They beat Bama last year. They got to go to Tuscaloosa. So those three are going to be everybody's three. As we sit here right now, I'm going to wait to see where we are in August. But I would be in that Bama-LSU, just a little bit ahead of Georgia, you know, getting into the summer months.
All right. So obviously the end of that cut is what's going to expound it. But first, let me talk about the first half of it. Because what Kirk Herbstreit is doing is what everybody's done for Alabama so many times. He's giving them the benefit of the doubt. Oh, yeah, every time they have to replace two coordinators and players here and players there, we always think it's going to be this cat, like, oh, it's over for Nick Saban. And it never ends up being the case. But why this year feels so different, why it feels different, is because last year it should have been tailor-made for them to make a run, to challenge Georgia, and they couldn't. It wasn't just the fact that they lost those two games. Alabama wasn't very good on the offensive line last year. Alabama, they were undisciplined, quite honest. They missed with guys out of the transfer portal. the penalties were up way more than they had been. That feeds into the undisciplined part. Obviously, a guy like Eli Ricks, you miss on him out of the transfer portal. There were multiple. There were others. You didn't have the production you're used to seeing at receiver from them. I mean, Bryce Young was awesome. Jahmyr Gibbs was awesome. Will Anderson was awesome. Outside of that, though, Alabama really wasn't. They weren't great. Let's just call it what it is. That's why it feels different. And now you go into this year. You go into this year and you look at Bryce Young, not there. Will Anderson, not there. So your best offensive player, your best defensive player. You have to replace both coordinators, which most Alabama fans are happy about anyway. But you have to replace both coordinators. And then ultimately, that's enough, right? But no, on top of that, 10 players in total, including Young and Anderson, left for the draft. It tied Georgia. I get in the past giving Alabama the benefit of the doubt. I do not understand it this year. I don't. Especially not having LSU ahead of them, like most do right now. And we're going to do an exercise here because of what he said at the end of there, at the cut. Georgia. The fact that he has LSU and Bama ahead of Georgia right now really caught my attention. Because I think Georgia has entered that realm of benefit of the doubt now, like Alabama had been for so long. We look at Georgia and we see the recruiting that they've done, and it's been awesome. I mean, Kirby's been a recruiting machine. We look at their schedule, and it's incredibly weak. Like, let's just be honest. The SEC East isn't the West, and Georgia's non-conference schedule is laughable. But is LSU ahead of Georgia? I think many people would have just said, no, they're not. But when you really look at it, you can make the case. You really can. Let's do that exercise, right? That's what I want to do right now. So I think we can agree, and you're going to get tagged with bias because of, you know, it's a show in Baton Rouge. But I think we can agree that most believe LSU's should be the favorite in the West this year to get back to Atlanta. And everybody want to know, can they beat Georgia? So let's see. On paper, here on June 2nd, some of Georgia's biggest questions. Quarterback is one of them. But if we're being honest, it's probably going to be Carson Beck's job. But you compare that to LSU, there is no question at quarterback. You feel great about Jaden Daniels. He's poised to take a big step. You feel really good about Garrett Nussmeier being a backup for you, poised to take the next step. If Daniels goes down, you feel good about Nuss. Carson Beck, probably going to win the job at Georgia. He was their most effective in the spring game. You can't take everything from spring games, I understand. And Kirby Smart's not going to tell you right now, but it lends, you know, makes sense. But after that, Brock Vandergriff or Gunnar Stockton, you don't really feel as good about their backup situation as you do LSU's. How about this one? Georgia has to replace both starting tackles this year. LSU doesn't. LSU made it to the SEC championship last year with two freshmen starting at tackle. They're both back, poised to take the next step. A full year in the SEC under their belt. Georgia's got to replace both tackles. Now, Amarius Mims looks like he's going to slide right into one of them, and that's fine. They can shuffle some things around. They've got some guys who played guard who could kick out to tackle, and they have some young players who are tackles. Can they just step right in? Much like Will Campbell and Emory Jones did at LSU and do that. Sure, but it's still a lot more uncertain. You got one guy that you feel really good about stepping in. Other than that, you got to shuffle around. So having to replace two tackles, that's a check mark in favor of LSU. Defensive tackle looked like it was clear for Georgia, but is it? Jalen Carter, best defensive tackle in the country last year, he's gone. You expect Bear Alexander to just slide right in, but he transferred to USC. So now you're looking at potentially having to move guys around there in that spot. Now, you have good depth. Georgia's got great depth along the defensive tackle spot, so you feel good. But, I mean, if you look at LSU, don't you feel really good there too? You get Mason Smith back. Mekhi Wingo was awesome last year. And you expect the guys you got out of the transfer portal to really take that next step as well, like Jalen Lee. You still have Jacoby and Guillory. Jalen Lee, Jordan Jefferson. Like, you feel good about depth there. So, I mean, yeah, okay. I could look at that and say LSU with Mason Smith and with Mekhi Wingo and Georgia without Bear Alexander and Jalen Carter, I can make a case that LSU should get the check mark in that. So, okay, sure. Yeah, I see that. Defensive end, that's an interesting one. Georgia's got to replace one senior who left there. LSU, they've kind of rebuilt that position. They like what they're going to have out of the Jack spot. Interesting conversation to be had there. Outside linebacker, Georgia's got to replace Nolan Smith and Robert Beal. Two guys. Now, granted, Nolan Smith got hurt halfway through the season, and Chaz Chambliss filled in, and he'll be back. And so he's got meaningful reps. But, I mean, maybe you've with DeMario Tolan off to Auburn, you don't feel as great about linebacker, but you still have Harold Perkins there that you're going to feel really good about, right? Like, that's their version of Nolan's. That's your version of what Nolan Smith was to them last year. They don't have that guy anymore. LSU does. You have Greg Penn. Greg Penn played well last year, right? You got to replace Baskerville and some other players like that. But I don't think LSU's really worried about the linebacker spot. And then there is cornerback. Key Laringo gone, y'all. Key Laringo, you got to replace one of your starting cornerbacks for your Georgia. Now, LSU's replacing a bunch, but I think LSU's replacing both. But I think we all feel better about LSU's cornerback room this year than we did last. So you go position by position, especially defensively, and you can absolutely make the case that, yeah, maybe LSU should be thought of as maybe even being ahead of Georgia. We didn't mention running back or receiver, but both teams feel very good about that. The thing is, looking at Georgia's defense, and this is why ultimately going through everything we just did, I would still look at you and say Georgia's ahead of LSU. So that's my take. Georgia is still ahead of LSU. Kirby Smart is a defensive genius, okay? Kirby Smart deserves the benefit of the doubt there. They're going to play great defense. Will they be as elite as they were the last 2 years? Maybe not, but they're still going to be top 10 in the country defensively. I don't know if LSU is going to be top 10 in the country defensively. Part of that can be Georgia's schedule, absolutely. And that is a big part of this. Their schedule is weaker than LSU's. So I fully expect Georgia to go through 12-0, at least 11-1, and be in Atlanta. The other thing is quarterback, where we started. Jake Fromm and Stetson Bennett had great success at Georgia as their quarterback under Kirby Smart, and they won a bunch of games. Yes, they have a new play caller in Mike Bobo this year. Don't care. Carson Beck will do just fine. So ultimately, while you can go down the list, you can go position by position, you can look and say, yeah, I think LSU is right there. You could make the case that they're ahead. I still give that nod to Georgia. It's Georgia. It's LSU for me going in to SEC. If Alabama decides to be Alabama again next year, which is not out of the realm of possibility, okay, it gets real interesting. But disagree with Mr. Herbstreit a little bit there. I'll take LSU ahead of Alabama, and I'll take Georgia ahead of both LSU and Alabama. It's fun to talk about in June. They'll actually play the games come the fall, and I know we're all fired up to see that, and we'll have you covered right here on AFR and our all of our shows here on ESPN Baton Rouge when the time comes. All right, LSU victorious 7-2 over the Tulane Green Wave. Paul Skeens with the complete game, about 125 pitches. If you were going to throw him in this game, he needed to get you deep. He got you all the way. That sets LSU up pretty good, and I think you saw a little bit of Jay's thinking down the road there when he had the bullpen the way he did. We will spend a lot of time in the 5 o'clock hour, basically just post-game showing it up about LSU. We'll dissect the game from every angle. Hunt Palmer actually texted me mid-segment there. He's going to come in for a little bit during the 5 o'clock hour and talking with me here too. So be sure to tune in there. So LSU gets the 7-2 win, a complete game from Paul Skeens. They move to the winner's bracket. They will play tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Central Time. They will face the winner of Oregon State, Sam Houston State. That game at 7 p.m. tonight at Alec Box Stadium, Skip Bertman Field. Grab a break, come back, close out hour number two, Tigers and the Pros, here on Friday's AFR.
AFR.
AFR is brought to you by Rouse's, the official supermarket of the New Orleans Saints. Rouses.com, Rouses.com. Remember, you can always get to the Rouses website or download the Rouses app. Highly recommend the app as well, because when you get the Rouses app, You can always do curbside to go and pick up options, delivery and pickup options. So you get the Rouse's app and you select your groceries, your personal shopper will go pick them out for you. Pull up into one of the designated spots. They bring them out to you. It's so easy. Hey, look, gifts for grads. A lot of graduate. You've seen the graduation pictures everywhere. If you need that graduation card to go with the cash you're sending to the grad, or if you need that cake for the grad, they got it. Or Rouse's gift cards are a great option for grads as well. They're going to be moving out on their own for the first time. Why not give them a Rouse's gift card so they can buy their own groceries with that Rouse's gift card, help them get a jump start. It's at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the New Orleans Saints.
After further review with Matt Moscona, presented by Don Juan Cigar Bar, ESPN Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria.
All right, wrapping up hour number two here of After Further Review. We'll do it how we do it every single day. Tigers in the Pros.
Tigers in the Pros. They still bleed purple and gold. They're just really rich now. Presented by Lee Michaels Fine Jewelry. Lee Michaels Fine Jewelry, where Baton Rouge gets engaged.
We'll start with games currently in action in Major League Baseball today. The Cincinnati Reds, they're losing 2-1 of the Brewers. But Jake Fraley does not have an official plate appearance yet. Drew a walk in his first AB, would come around to score. That's the lone run that the Reds actually have on the board. So Fraley continues to be productive, starting in right field today as opposed to DH, where we've seen him plenty of other times. Action yesterday that we didn't get to because either we missed it or it happened after the show went off the air. Kevin Gausman, great outing for the Blue Jays in a victory. Got the win, now 4-3 on the year. 6 2/3 innings pitched for Gausman. 5 hits scattered, shutout ball, just 2 walks and 11 punchouts. Threw 115 pitches, 74 of them for strikes. So 4-3 the record, the ERA now 2.76 for the former Tiger. The interesting thing is, man, you don't see it a lot in Major League Baseball anymore, pitchers extending that much. Kevin Gausman is one that does it plenty. I mean, he regularly goes over 100 pitches every time we do these segments here. The Astros last night, victorious 5-2 over the Angels. Alex Bregman, another good night. 1-for-3 for Bregman. It was a single, but did drive in 2 runs on the night. Him and Altuve actually both had runs driven in the ballgame and helped pace the Angels there. So Bregman now on the year, 247, up to 31 runs batted in for Bregman. To golf, the Memorial this weekend here. Sam Burns shot 1 under par yesterday for his round. Continuing the hot play today, 2 under right now through 16 at Jack's Place, 3 under for the tournament. That has him tied for 11th. He has 5 shots off the lead right now of American Justin Suh. Needs to do some work, but got a couple holes left. Get one more birdie on the card and potentially, 17's a par 3. It's a hard par 3, but it's par 3. Potentially get one more on the card. Be 4 shots back heading into moving day. That's a good spot. Ben Taylor, on the other hand, his time at Jack's Place is over. 8 over par round today for Ben Taylor. Finishes him at 9 over for the tournament. Tied for 102nd. He will miss the cut. So Sam Burns, your lone player hanging around the Memorial this weekend for LSU. That is Tigers in the Pros. It's brought to you by Lee Michaels Fine Jewelry. Looking for an engagement ring? Ready to pop the question? Lee Michaels Fine Jewelry, LMFJ.com. That's where you go. It's really the only place to go. It's common sense. You know, man, got to get married. Got to pop the question. I got to go to Lee Michaels Fine Jewelry. Maybe you're not looking to get married right now. Maybe it's just significant other's birthday or an anniversary. Lee Michaels Fine Jewelry makes a great gift. The gift in the little red box makes a great gift every single time. LMFJ.com. They bring you Tigers in the Pros every single day here on After Further Review. All right, so that's just about going to do it here for us in hour number two. Tigers win, Tigers win. That's how Regional Friday is supposed to go. They're into the winner's bracket tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Central Time, your first pitch. They will play the winner of Sam Houston State and of Oregon State. That game, 7 p.m. tonight at the Box. So what we're going to do, we're going to kind of deep dive the game today. There's a lot to talk about. Pitching decisions, things of that nature. Paul Skeen shoved, went 9 innings, the complete game, saves your bullpen. Hunt Palmer is going to come in here. He's still hanging around the building. Jump on with me. We're going to do some post-game here for a couple segments on After Further Review as we continue to drive you home. So climb aboard. Game's over. No excuse not to listen now. Hour three is next.
AFR.
Remind you about Traction, TractionSports.com, TractionSports.com. Hey, summer's here. The kids are out of school now, and you got to be thinking, what are we going to do this summer? How about the Traction Summer Baseball League? Registration open right now. They start June the 5th. That's a week from Monday. So, Traction Summer Baseball League. Practice one night a week, game one night a week. That's Mondays and Fridays this summer. Also, Traction Summer Baseball Camps. Registration's open right now. You've got full and half day options for 8 weeks throughout the summer. You can do, again, full or half day options, 5 days at a time, week at a time. You want to pick and choose 1 week here, 1 week there, 2 weeks, whatever. You can do it. Registration right now open at TractionSports.com. TractionSports.com, where champions are made. This summer, you need your kids to go to camp. Traction's got you covered. TractionSports.com.